Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Right now, all stock outlets with USB ports are on sale. Ditch the need for bulky USB adapters. Upgrade your home with features like ultra-fast charging, allowing you to charge your smart devices up to 40% faster than standard USB outlets. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Right now, all stock outlets with USB ports are on sale. Ditch the need for bulky USB adapters. Upgrade your home with features like ultra-fast charging, allowing you to charge your smart devices up to 40% faster than standard USB outlets. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Too Much Movie. It is the show where my co-hosts Rob Belushi, Chris Candy, and I discuss movies from the 1990s, often thinking about going into the 2000s very quickly, but we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. But today, we're back in the 90s talking about movies that are simply too much. And now, before we get started, we'll find out everything there is to know about these men, their dreams, their desires, the most intimate of intimates. And from what I'm looking at, intimate are these stud muffins' middle name. So tell me, men, are you nervous in the service of this podcast, Rob Belushi and Chris Candy? Hello.
My man. Corbin.
Lila Dallas Multipass.
This is, of course, Luc Besson's The Fifth Element. Oh my goodness. The most expensive movie that Gaumont had made to date in 1997. A movie that kind of, I don't know, became instantly sort of both gigantic and a cult hit and has seemed to have aged really well in the culture. Still looks fantastic. It was still on that borderline of like too much CGI and great practical physical effects, great monsters. Bruce Willis looking maybe as hot as he's ever looked. Mila Jovovich in bandages as a sexy mummy. Gary Oldman as the weirdest of weird in his perfect Luc Besson, crazy, psycho, weird villain phase. Take me back to this movie, this Rob Belushi, because I know you've got such an affinity for Chris Tucker's Ruby Road.
Oh, it's crazy. I think you could make an argument that it's Chris Tucker's greatest performance. I mean, he is amazing.
Yeah. So funny. So
he's amazing. He's so fun. Moment to moment, he's so specific. He encapsulates. I mean, you've never seen from him, and you never see again.
Yeah,
and in a big budget, like, where is this guy? God, I miss him.
Yes.
He was my favorite. I mean, yeah, anyway.
What happened to Chris? I mean, filed in the where are they now category. No, Chris.
He popped up in Silver Linings Playbook for a minute and kind of like a, you know.
He was in Air for 5 minutes as well. He's in Air.
That's right. He was in Air. He does great in Air. Yeah, that's true. It was nice to see him in Air.
But like,
oh, man, Ruby Rod is like a character beyond. I mean, he's the original podcaster. He's the original Blake Howard, dude. You are Ruby Rod. Yo, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. You know, this, I was talking, but like before we started up, that all the things you said are great. There's so many awesome things about this movie. But what I realized is when this movie came out, I was a teenager, and this is like the greatest movie for a teenage boy ever.
Of course. Of course.
And now, as like a 40 plus year old man, I'm like,
say it.
There's some great parts, but like, you know, it's not as good as I remembered it being, like the greatest movie I've ever seen. I like totally blew my mind. There's lots of good in it, but I was saying before that, like, you know, we do movies that are like too much movie, and this one's more like too much movie. You know what I mean? But Bruce Willis is, you know, at the height of his star power. He's so great, even when he's giving unconsensual kisses and being weirdly rude to a supreme being at a airplane checkout counter. He's still so charming, and she is definitely a supreme. I mean, she looks amazing, and she's so great as that, like, gibberish alien language, divine language speaking being. Like, she's so wonderful, and Chris Tucker is incredible. But the colors are great, the vast array of humans represented in this world where humans are no longer the only species, and there's a lot of fun bits, and you know, it's a fun movie.
You've got to remember that that Friday, another massive 90s movie, a 90s defining movie, has both Chris Tucker and Tom Lister Jr., who plays the president in this movie, which is the greatest piece of casting.
President ever.
Lindbergh. It's the greatest president casting of all time. Yeah. Like, you know, this had to walk so that 24 could run, you know, like, it's like, this is basically as good as it gets.
Right.
I got to push back on you there. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, yeah. I've seen this movie a bunch. I really love this movie. And I think that Rob might be a little hard on it because it is so hard to do any type of science fiction where it doesn't have like original IP with Star Wars or Star Trek, or it's a sequel to something. This is a dope standalone sci-fi. And I think this movie sticks the landing so well. People are kind of pissed off it sticks the landing so well. Because it's just like, and I think they're confused. I think because it is actually just like a really great sci-fi. Like I was like, I wrote the note, like I want like, this director to direct a Star Wars or this director to direct Indiana Jones or something like that, because he just really fully understood action, had great pacing. It's really fucking cool looking too. It kind of reminds me of like an ad firm from 1996 that did like a diesel campaign or like a Black Flies campaign. But I think that it is just such a Black cool, Fly. Fun movie. That's a sunglass brand from the.
Yo,
we spent
I know
a little time at the skate shop
dude. I know. I know what it is. I'm thinking of like surf magazines from the 90s that I had in my bedroom that had like flies in them. I'm just like, oh my god,
Chris. I moved to LA in 1996, and there was nothing cooler than Black Flies, man.
Or a pair of Arnett sunglasses.
Oh,
I had
Arnett's. I wasn't cool enough to have Black Flies, but I had Arnett's. You know, I had Arnett's.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, Arnett's, Black Flies, They're not in the movie, but it feels like a pair of those sunglasses. This movie's really fucking cool. I love all the practical stuff. You guys all kind of hit it on the head. And I do think sometimes a movie is so good that it checks all the boxes and people go, okay, great. Fifth Element is a great movie. But I know what you're saying, Rob. It doesn't have that like pushover quality where it has this like, there's an umami missing from it. But it doesn't matter because it's really great. And the sci-fi movies that get made now suck. When was the last time you saw a sci-fi movie where you were just like, oh my God, you've got to see the plug-in, whatever. Even the Star Wars and Star Trek's just get by. This is a cool, rad addition to that genre, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's really hard to make. And later on, Luc Besson made I'm just going to go and find it because I always forget the name of this damn thing. He made this gigantic sci-fi in 2017 called Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets that has Cara Delevingne and that other terrific actor who's just great in Oppenheimer, the young actor Dane DeHaan, who kind of was the it guy at that stage. And Valerian is kind of one of the most gorgeous movies to look at, but it doesn't really have, especially for me, it doesn't have like anything of the substance that Fifth Element has. And it's so rare to like go make this big thing. It's a gigantic canvas. It's this huge world. It makes sense. And also the bravery of like, it's one and done. We're not making 27 of these. There's no intention that we're going to go further. We are making the very best thing that we can make. And then it's going to exist. And that's it. And it's like, it's so rare recently. I'm thinking of like the great sci-fis that I've recently seen. You know, like Dune, Blade Runner 2049, maybe Ex Machina is another one that's a completely, you know, like that's what I'm thinking more in like the original space, like completely original, short, bang, done, happens. There's no other IP. But yeah, this comes so wholly formed when you watch it and just has all these great archetypes that work, you know, and great actor, like the best casting of all time, because it's like I want a badass Han Solo-ish kind of like leader. And so Bruce Willis, yes, thank you, tick. I want a weird, you know, psycho villain. Yep, Gary Oldman, tick. Thank you very much. I need some English cred, more English cred. I need Ian Holm. It's like, oh, yeah, fantastic. And then Chris
Tucker. Don't forget Tricky as like the Zorg aide de camp.
Yes.
He was Tricky. Yeah. And you know,
I brought you your foamy latte. Yeah, totally.
yeah. And like the plethora, it's Besson like Frenching out with like all of the hottest models of the time as like stewardesses and weird, you know, Tricky's girlfriend. That woman I remember with the dragon tattoo on her head, like I forget her name, but I was like, when she popped up, I was like, oh my God, amazing. And you guys are so right. Like it, you know what? I think that's what it is. It's very much of the time, and a movie like Casino is timeless. But you know, it's hard to paint a picture of the future that doesn't become dated. The past is a lot easier to see through the years, and the world building in The Fifth Element is incredible. The details, it's like 50s meets future, you know, like Zorg's desk and all the fucking weird shit, but but also the cruise ship and the consumerism of it all, the McDonald's and the buying and the credits and the flying cars.
You know what The Fifth Element is? Van Halen with Sammy Hagar. It's fucking awesome. It's great. All right. It isn't David
Put that
Lee Roth,
on a fucking
right?
Put that on a poster. It's Van Halen's.
It's like you want to hang out with it. Like it's just there, but it's like, but it's not Star Wars, but it's still Jump. It's still Running with the Devil, and it's still a great singer, you know.
And way funnier than Star Wars. Way funnier. Yeah,
it's cool. Yeah. And I'd even argue too, like, there is more creative costume designing and set designing. Well, I wouldn't say more creative. I don't think I'd get competitive, but it does just as good a job as how like Star Wars involved like 70s futurism in its apparel, that it had the 90s futurism in its wardrobe.
It's Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yeah.
Didn't he also do City of Lost Children?
Yes, he did.
Oh, what was the movie he did?
The costumes are like probably the best thing in the whole movie. They're amazing. And Ruby Rod is amazing. I mean, it's worth it just for Chris Tucker.
So he did. So this is Jean-Paul Gaultier. He did The Fifth Element. So this is 90s. City of Lost Children, which is 95. He did the absolutely terrific Pedro Almodovar film, The Skin I Live In, with Antonio.
Oh my God, that fucking movie. Yes. He did that too.
That movie, Rob.
Is that the Banderas one with the tiger? At Le Tigre or whatever.
Yes.
With the woman in the my God, that movie haunts me.
That movie smashed. Like, I came home.
When is that movie? Is that in the 90s?
No, it's 2011. But I came home. Okay. This is when I was still smoking. We're gonna get back to smoking. And I came home, and a couple of my friends were at home with me after that movie, and I was just sitting at home smoking, and they're like, "How are you? What's going on?" I'm like,
fucked up, man.
This fucking movie, man. Fuck me up. I just remember I smoked like a packet of cigarettes. I was like, fuck this movie.
That movie felt like, remember that movie Eyes Without a Face?
Yeah.
I think it's French guy. Felt like that movie, but like way more fucked up and like sex laden. Anyway, you're right, Chris. The costumes are fucking incredible, man. The oranges and the blondes. Because you know he was in there making her hair blonde. Her hair orange with blonde highlights, and his hair blonde, and like
wearing the orange singlet and all that cohesion of all the different outfits and looks, and everyone pairing together beautifully. It's movie designed within an inch of its life, and it's so perfect.
Yeah, we talk about this on the pod all the time, and I always bring it up, like world building, feeling like I'm in the space. I feel like I'm in a, you know what this movie makes me feel like? I'm full of them today. Fucking Venice Beach, Third Street Promenade, 1994. There's someone selling henna tattoos and a fucking pan flute. It is City Walk in 1996 on opening day. It's like postmodern and weird.
Weed in LA was on the top of the parking structure on 4th Street at 3rd Street Promenade overlooking. I was like fresh from Chicago, and I was like, I felt like I was, you know, on Flotsam Paradise, man.
You know what makes me think of that, and like I pull all those weird references, is I just remember growing up in this neighborhood in LA and like walking around, and like you'd go down to like Venice Beach or Third Street, and there'd be all these like weird kind of like giant metal steampunk style robot-y kind of like Predators or Terminators or Aliens, like, you know, all up and down Venice Beach. And this movie just feels like it was kind of like, I don't know. It just borrowed from those themes, and I'll cap all of what I'm saying off like this. This is the best fucking high school sleepover movie, grade school sleepover movie with 100%. Your fucking homies. Yeah. Like, just Fifth Element's on, Domino's is in the belly. You're just jacked on fucking
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Someone's smoking weed. Like,
and I would pair it with two other great 90s movies that I watched on rotation. One of them, Blake mentioned, Friday, and the other Dazed and Confused.
Oh yeah.
That's a good crap.
That's the stuff. But I was just going to say, the first movie that made me think about this. So you boys both know, like I went off and did some teaching recently. And there was a kid in one of my There was a kid in one of my classes who rocked in, and he was wearing this hat. And I was like, "You a White Man Can't Jump fan?" to the kid. And he was like, "What?" I'm like, "The hat, White Man Can't Jump." Like, it was one of those. It was one of those.
Right.
And, a biker
and,
hat?
And it was one of those. And it was like, he's like, oh, no, this is like a vintage hat. Cost me like $300 on eBay. And I'm like, man, I'm old, man. I'm so old. Like, you know how much I wanted to rock a Wesley hat, like, when I was a kid? Like, I probably did and failed miserably. But, like, this movie's aesthetic, Chris, when you're saying, like, that Venice Beach, I'm like, the costuming... There is a dotted line between white men, all the people in all the crowd scenes at White Man Can't Jump and The Fifth Element. Like, it's the same tactile life, like, love, life energy in that movie. It just filled with it. And I love the eclectic cast too. They both sort of pair so beautifully together. But yeah, I felt even older than I feel on a daily basis talking to that kid. I'm like, White Man Can't Jump that much? Jesus Christ. $300. Well,
all the people are so distinct looking.
Yes.
Like, every character, it is not a human race that is, you know, a blurb kind of, like, everyone is so striking and strange and beautiful at the same time. You know, it's truly a fun visual romp of bodies, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it feels like the casting is one of the strongest things in this movie, and it makes me, like, as I'm thinking about it now, like, how casting can go so wrong, and like and this is just really dialed in for great sci-fi. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I do know what you mean. It definitely, I don't know why that is. It's such a tough genre, because there's so many juggernauts in the lane that you have to compete against. But, you know, for something to stand out where you do, like you said, like have a Han Solo character that is distinctly unique, who could stand right next to Han Solo and be exactly different but the same, you get that with Willis's performance as the character of Corbin Dallas.
Corbin. So there's a couple things that the mother... runner, I'm sorry, guys, it's terrible. I hated it. This watch, like, the kvetching mother to Corbin Dallas, like the I don't know, like, Long Island or Brooklyn mother who's always complaining, like, didn't need it. And but of 48 Hours fame is the amazing, you know, the
do you know what you isn't need, he Rob?
The Iceman?
You know what we both need? I want those cigarettes. I want the all butt cigarette. I want it. I want to try it.
It blew my mind when I saw it. And I will give this movie, as I chew a piece of Nicorette gum like it's the antidote, this movie has so many visual things that I probably think about on a monthly basis for the last 20 years. The cigarettes are one.
I'm holding my Nicorette gum up as Rob and I chew our Nicorette gum to death.
The coffee machine.
Weasel Nation.
Go ahead. What about the coffee? The coffee machine. When he takes the coffee, the coffee, and he, like, sticks it to the ceiling, and it's like, how's the coffee get in there? I don't know. It's like cigarettes and that coffee machine blew my mind on this watch. I was like,
there are things that I will never forget from a production design standpoint. The cigarettes, number one. I was smoking when it came out. The when Lilu gets in the self-cleaning shower and it goes up and down. I think about it all the time. The mechanical, like, nuclear body reconstructor that they reconstruct her body from the hand, the reactor or whatever. And think about it all the time.
There's a great tidbit with that, boys. I'm not sure if you know, it's right around that time. It was one of the first times that they froze, like, someone donated their body for science. They froze a human body and they used, like, I don't know what kind of, like, laser cutting machine, but they cut the human body into, like, millimeter strips and scans so that it could do the first, like, full version of that scan. So this was happening in science in the late 90s. Wow. It was all that sort of more advanced technology of people doing that so that they could see bone density, bone structure, and do the analysis and stuff like that. And then they ended up using that science as the experiment to see all the cuts. So when you see those little slices of like the human brain skull all coming together, it's actually from real scientific research, and they got it. And I was like, it's so amazing, because obviously they're using it for medicine, but here they've just sort of taken something and then reapplied it. Like, oh, what's the sci-fi nth degree of this, and extrapolated, and it's being able to reassemble and, you know, genetically reassemble bodies because we know exactly how all those components would work programmed into their DNA code. So it's such a cool little thing that the movie, you know, researched and got so right in something so fantastical.
And I love hearing that. And it's probably the coolest effect in the whole movie. I mean, I thought about it all the time growing up. And then
what about the turkey?
Bringing,
when she, the turkey. What about the, when she makes the chicken with the little pellets?
Yeah, love that.
Great.
Love that one. The other two are pulling the stones out of Pava Laguna. Was so crazy. And of course, the final set piece of the stones with her, like, that is I think I compare myself to her becoming the fifth element in so many different like iterations with my friends all the time. Like, you know, I fucking hit that parlay and, you know, the Vikings covered, and all of a sudden, like, a beam of light shot out of my fucking mouth and I stopped the hate planet from hitting the earth. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a striking image. And
when the Vikings cover the spread.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I never bet
the Vikings, but they played last night, so.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, yeah, exactly. I grew up as a kid, and my dad would take us to go see Cirque du Soleil whenever it would play in Santa Monica.
Yeah. Yes.
This has got big Cirque du Soleil energy going on in the Fifth Element.
Yes, it does.
Like the score is kind of this like cross country, you know, bossa nova Whole Foods CD that you'd get, you know, like there's a lot going on with this thing. But yes, anyways, I could go on for all like the little, there's a lot of shiny objects in this movie to talk about.
Yeah, the guns are cool.
Guns are great.
Guns are so
weird. Like our one little like view of addiction in the future is Matthew Kasovitz as the mugger with the head.
I don't need it.
I don't need it. Yeah. And then he just like dances like randomly. He's such a great little scene. He just kills
Matthew Kasovitz, a terrific director, a phenomenal actor, and you know, touch wood.
Isn't
I hope he's
in
okay.
Munich?
He's in Munich. He's the great toy maker slash bomb maker.
He's the toy maker, yeah.
He's been in a million movies and he's directed stuff. He's fantastic. It's one of those Spielberg casting from a film director sort of crop, but he's amazing. Holy. And he's just in this movie to pop up to do this amazing 10-second hilarious junkie performance, future junkie performance. But I think I hope he's well. I think Matthew Kasovitz recently was in a motorcycle accident. I hope everything's okay.
Oh no!
Yeah, because he's so wonderful. Yeah, but that's a recent piece of news. But oh man, I completely forgot that it was him. I've had that guy in my brain since '97. Yeah, I don't need it. Take it. Like, I love that guy, but I never put two and two together that it was Matthew Kasovitz until I started watching it for this. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that it's him. That's amazing.
He said he was an idiot and trying to be a superhero to impress his daughter when he had a motorbike accident that left him in the hospital with serious leg injuries. I'm like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to be cool for your daughter. I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah, I get it, dude.
All right, Well, before we get into our favorite scenes, I just have to do one quick shout out. Again, a person who's unfortunately passed away as well. How good's Luke Perry for 5 minutes in this movie? How
he's great.
Amazing is he? He's sensational.
Just sketching the weird, you know.
Those big guys.
Like, yeah. Minded she wins or whatever. Like, they
weird penguin robots. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great.
He's great. And just the panic after being the coolest human of all time. I just love that panic. He was so really, really great. great energy. Yeah. It was great. All right, let's take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we'll talk about our two favorite scenes.
Multipass.
Yeah, that's multipass.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Keep your walls and trim protected while you paint with Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. It's designed for use on multiple surfaces and can be removed easily without leaving residue behind. Save big on Scotch Blue Painter's Tape from Menards. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all of our great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
It has to be. Yeah, right? We come back. It has to be that multipass scene. It has to be. It's a universal beloved scene. So sensational. Like, in your head for the rest of your life. It's like, you know, all those great memes of, like, you know, he's probably thinking about another girl. Like, you know, those that given, like, he's probably thinking about another girl and it goes to the guy's brain. It's just like, Lilo Dallas multipass, Lilo Dallas yeah, multipass. Yeah, like, that's yeah, all you're yeah. actually thinking about.
Woo! Made it! I was so afraid I wasn't going to make this flight, so I sent David here yeah. to come and pick up my boarding pass. But now David has to go. Thank you. Bye. I am Corbin Dallas.
And this is?
Lilo Dallas Multipass.
Multipass. You know this multipass. Lilo Dallas, my wife. We're newlyweds.
Such a great scene. But there's so many great scenes in this. Rob, what are some of your favorites?
I love that scene. I love how those like guys dive into the garbage, you know?
Yeah.
I think the scene I enjoyed the most, I mean, obviously besides the beam of light coming out of her mouth into the atmosphere, my favorite scene, once it gets to Flotsam Paradise, it becomes so great. And so Ruby Rod's entrance.
Here he is, the one and only winner of the Gemini Croquette Contest. This boy is fueled like fire. So start melting, ladies, because the boy is hotter than hot. He's hot. Ah! Right size, right build, right head, right on.
Right on.
And he's got something to say to those 50 billion pair of ears out there. Pop it, D-Man.
Hi.
Unbelievable! Wither, ladies, wither. He's gonna set the world on fire. Right here from 5 to 7, you know everything there is to know about that demon. His dreams, his desires, his most intimates of intimates. And from what I'm looking at, intimate is his stud muffin's middle name. So tell me, my man, you nervous in the service?
Not really.
Freeze those knees, my cheese, because Herb's in the place and he's on the case. Yesterday's frog will be tomorrow's prince of Frost on Paradise. A hotel of 1,001 follies, lollies, and lick 'em lollies. A magic fountain flow of non-stop wine, women, and
ooh.
All night long. Start licking your stamps to the girlies, cause this guy's gonna have you riding home to mama. Right here from 5 to 7, I'll be your voice, you dumb. And I'll be hot on the trail of the sexiest man of the year, D-Man, your man. My man.
End of transmission.
Okay, Ruby, see you tomorrow at 5.
How was it?
Oh. Is like a wake-up call for the movie, especially in, you know, direct contradiction to Corbin Dallas's like very diehard, put upon hero energy. And then the sequence where like the, I forget what those like orc looking weirdos are. That where they take over the ship, and it felt, it's like scary and funny and fun all at the same time after the opera, the very cool opera performance of Cava Laguna. Like that whole Flotsam Paradise sequence to me is really my favorite part of the movie. But when he shoots out the floor underneath Ruby Rod and he's like, ah, Corbin. So Ruby. Look, Ruby Rod, like, I would also fuck Ruby Rod so hard. Like, when he shows up, I'm just like, I want to put my pee-pee in that blonde, you know.
What the fuck?
I just love him, man. I love Ruby Rod. Like, I remember thinking, too, when the movie came out, like, this is too much, man. You're obnoxious. And now, like, as an older, more seasoned man, I'm like,
you wanna
Ruby
make
Rod
love
is he is the sex. Sexual apex of you know humanity.
And, yeah, he's got big. He's got kind of, you know, that that kind of like Bowie. Mick Jagger, androgynous, 70s androgynous,
pansexual.
He's got that energy.
And in that sequence of like,
and it's what men fear, stuff. Rob. A lot of more sophisticated men would be fearful of his sway on them. They'd be under his hypnosis, but you're just embracing it, which I'm proud of you. It's so good.
I mean, when you got it, man. You know?
Yeah. why try and fight it?
Well, I'm not going to fight it.
I'm not starting a war against beauty. That's not why I'm on this earth. But you know I'm gonna try to, you know, and then in the next scene his hair, those beautiful little tufts, it goes from like a blonde oblong, you know, vagina essentially. I mean, vaginal. At least that's what I see, a hole. And
it's a hair-based fleshlight that he's carrying around with him.
Thank you. With the staff. So he's got the hole and he's got the phallus that he's into. I mean, he's everything. He is the Da Vinci Code. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and
shit.
Like, he is the Louvre. Like, but the
wow.
He comes in
I'm
so
in shock.
Hot. I mean, dude.
Like,
we play this game called Real Price. Like, you know, have I told you guys this?
No,
this
please,
is a little
God.
Off-kilter.
This is the guy.
So Real Price is like, you know, like you're talking to your buddy and you're like, hey, how much to, you know, eat that thing, or how much would to, like, I don't know, fuck him or fuck her, or like fuck your teacher or whatever. It's all very childish, but like the key to the game is don't tell me $100 million. Like, think about it, visualize a briefcase of cash, because you're gonna think like $4 million, but you're like, but if it was $250,000, like, you know, like, everyone's got a price. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's got a price. And, you know, Real Price, long story short, like,
I used to come to this podcast as a safe haven. My other podcast has all the fucking crash shit.
Like, for one night of Ruby Rod, it's not what I would get, what I would need to be paid. It's how much I would pay.
Yeah.
And I would pay everything. I would pay everything.
Right there with you, Rob. Standing arm to arm.
Thank you. And we
shoulder to shoulder.
Say this.
Hair orb to hair orb. All right.
Look at my point about the Flotsam Paradise. I know I've gone long, guys, and I'm sorry. Is he comes in hot, and the arc of his character from like bravado, confident, top of the like media superstar to like shrieking, horrified, very funny. Still recording,
he's like the damsel in distress. It's a hilarious arc for him. It's fantastic.
And he becomes at the same time, he becomes a war journalist. Yes. You know what I mean? And it's a great arc. And so that to me is, worth every dollar. Chris Tucker, I think you're very, very talented. And if you hear this right now, I mean every word of it. If you want all my money, you've got $6,789 coming your way.
I didn't know that we could hit higher than what we've hit so far on this show, but you guys just seem to take it to the limit one more time. Bless your heart.
I'm belligerent today.
Chris Candy.
It's to clear your palate of all podcaster
and commander. There you go.
Podcaster and commander. It's the clear palette. Yeah.
I think that this really was too much movie for Rob.
I went from hating it to giving all my money to fuck it in like 15 minutes.
Seriously.
I'm Ruby Rod.
I mean, you weren't doing this for Casino.
I love you, Rob. Oh my god.
There's a latent love for Fifth Element. I am not gonna go anywhere near trying to top that rant. Oh, it was beautiful. It was so eloquent. It was so beautiful. There's so many cool fucking scenes in this movie, but what I love about what this movie did was like how clearly it got all the characters kind of set up through these like really clever ways to the writing. And one of the cool ways is we kind of talked about it briefly, but the cigarette scene, the coffee scene, anytime we go back into Bruce Willis's little like container, storage facility apartment that has like a garage next to it, I just get all nerded out. And it has one of my favorite shots in the whole movie. His little cat, there's like a shot of the cat watching television.
Yes.
And it's like a cat cross-eyed. It's so cute. It's like, it's rare for me to like watch a movie and be like, oh, that's the cutest cat I've ever seen. But I love that scene. The Flotsam Paradise stuff is awesome. I love the plane sequence too. We didn't really talk about it. I remember like being a kid when they go down to like the pit crew and they're like, fire, and they're like lighting those things on fire with the flamethrowers, and the reggae music starts to play, and then it's like they're getting ready for takeoff, and like intercut with like Ruby like just like going to town on a flight attendant. It was just like the coolest thing I had seen.
Everything's ready, Captain. Mr. Rod,
what?
You're gonna have to assume your individual position.
I don't want one position, I want all positions.
Fire sights and landing gear.
Ground, you copy?
Got it. Front gear. We need some heat here, man. Get some heat. Some heat over here, man.
Put your pen, man.
Put the heat over here, man. Thank you very much!
Ruby?
Feel what I'm ready to go.
Yep.
I'll buy you one, man.
You taking off already?
I'm not on the plane.
What?
The real Dallas took my place. I don't understand.
Are you making fun of me?
Nah, nah, nah. Swear. I never felt this way before. We have a human.
I've tried everything, so believe me, there's no other way of getting on this plane.
Ground is clear.
Roger. Ready for liftoff?
Confirmed.
Not there. No, please, not there. Oh, please, no.
Power pressure.
Prime.
Protection.
Confirmed.
Power increase.
10 seconds.
I am a little disappointed.
5.
And if there is one thing I do not like.
3.
It is to be
too
disappointed.
1.
Sorry, sir. This will never happen again.
I know.
Lift off.
And, but that was also like, I nerd out in this movie, like it's not necessarily scenes that I remember as much as all the tech that we kind of covered, but like, I loved the weird little tiny hotels that they sleep in on the airplane.
Don't
and then
think,
like just a butt.
Don't
butt
you think it's weird out. Though, Chris, when I watch it now, I'm like, this movie is inspiring apartments and shit. Like I see people on like Instagram they go, like there are airports now that have like sleeping pods, like especially in Asian airports at like
Japan,
Japan have got it. Like I remember Singapore is a huge air hub near Oz, right? So it's like usually like a 7-8 hour flight from Sydney, and then usually if you're going to Europe, you kind of like bounce into Singapore, you go to Dubai, and then you bounce to, you know, Europe, Asia, etc., wherever you're going. And I remember being at Singapore, and like it was like the coolest thing ever because it was a place that had like you go get a shower, you go to the gym, they had like sleeping pods that you could do, like really old school. And now it's all like futuristic. You go in there, you put your money in, and you go in, it's got phone chargers, alarms, like TVs in these pods. It's like crazy. And even on that whole like my wife is a personal organizer. I'll link her Instagram in the show notes if you're in Australia and you want your home personally organized. But I kept looking at this. I was like, man, she would love Bruce Willis's like retractable shelves and shit like that. Like in the way she'd be like, how do I hack a room to do that so that people can save more space and have less clutter? You know, like I feel like I was like watching it through a new lens of appreciation for her too.
And I love that one of his retractable shelves is just for guns he's taken off people trying to mug him in his home.
That scene also has like that Bruce Willis scene too, to go back to that one, has the like tried and true hungover Bruce Willis waking up. I think we've had another too much movie where he wakes up and like chows down on some aspirin or lights up a cigarette and like
last
tries
voice
to get himself
guy.
A
last
cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder what the turnover is for him is like, you know, interior apartment, you know, Bruce wakes up with that massive hangover. Like, I think it's probably 85% of every movie, including Look Who's Talking.
Chris, last night when I was watching it, I was looking at his stubble and I'm like, oh, it's more than Die Hard, but it's less than Last Boy Scout. I had that thought. I'm like, okay, he's not as gone as, you know, Last Boy Scout. But
but he's definitely between, he's John McClane, probably Die Harder, because like even like Die Hard with a Vengeance, he's more towards the Last Boy Scout end of the Bruce Willis stubble. Yeah.
He's definitely, that's an interesting observation. Yeah.
Well, Die Harder, he's like happily married, remember?
He
wants to have a drink.
He's got 5 credits left on his driver's license, down to only 1. That seems fucking cool too, actually.
It's great.
I was watching like the escape scene when she escapes and the train rolls down. They go down into the bottom levels that are clearly uninhabitable now. You know, there's all kinds of cool shit in this movie.
That scene made me think like, oh, this is a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, that part of it, this is a cartoon.
You know what else? I'll make my commentary too on why I like it as a sci-fi. Like, I sometimes watch movies like Brazil or even Blade Runner, or, you know, they're noirs, but they bum me out a little bit when I'm watching them.
Yeah.
I kind of get like, you know, like Brazil bums me out. Like when I watch it, I just like, you know, it's a Terry Gilliam film, of course, but like, it's just like, it's super cool. And like, people obviously talk about them for, and they're really important for a lot of reasons, but just kind of leave feeling like icky. This one, I don't feel icky. You know, it's like, it has all of the cool.
It's nice. It's the cotton candy version. Cause I was just going to say, it's so funny that you talked about Brazil, but like the sort of ur text in sci-fi. And, you know, I remember studying at university, I was doing a course in science fiction films, like Fritz Lang's Metropolis, and you know, one of the most amazing shots in that is obviously flying cars and a whole bunch of flying cars. And so many movies have aped it, reinvented it for their own things, been inspired by it, and tried to sort of bring that sort of same shocking energy that they had to their first experiences of watching it. I think in some respects Fifth Element does that in the same way, because if I was to talk about like one of my favorite scenes, I would never get over the scene where Lilu stands up outside the balcony you know, during her escape, and she just dives, like the scene that she dives into Corbin's cab. Like, that is just so iconic and so cool and so unbelievable. It's like peak sci-fi, because it's like that wonderment of like, look at this truly futuristic city, all these, you know, all of us, you know, creating all these lines and the patterns that we create as a human race in this more futuristic way, and her just plunging down. It's just such an iconic series of images, and I was like, that's as core sci-fi and refreshed, updated, like very of its time sci-fi, blending together perfectly, fusing together perfect for me in that moment. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. I love the Chinese food restaurant too. I think the Chinese food restaurant, the dude just, and that's like, that's a cool nod to Blade Runner. That's got that like very cool, like, it's fun. I don't know. What about any other scenes we're missing here that are just like awesome?
The one I want to touch on, because Rob mentioned that at the beginning, which is like the light shooting out, but when they figure out how to activate the stones,
it was so cool.
That is one of my favorite scenes, because he gets and then he's like breathes on it, and then they get the water, and then the fire, and then everyone holding their breath, the tension and the direction and the reaction shots of all the actors in that scene, like all the way up to that, is just perfection.
We're never gonna make it. Corbin, it moved.
What'd you do? Show me what you did.
Nothing.
Show me what you did. Shut up. Calm down. Just show me what you did. Take me a step by step.
All right. I was just standing here like this. Okay. And I put my hands on the top like this, and I said, we're not gonna make it.
Wind. You said wind blows. Everyone take a stone. Water for water, fire for fire, earth for earth. Go, now.
Earth. Open the other way.
Okay.
Breathe.
And I was thinking too when I was watching again last night, like the whole thing with the cigarette, the amazing cigarettes that are fucking amazing, and the match seed they planted to be like, maybe all the cigarette stuff is just for that payoff.
It's just for that payoff. Yeah, like it makes sense for the character. That's what's so perfect.
Yeah,
it makes total sense for the character to have it. It's not contrived, and it's right from the beginning. It's that one match, and you're like, "Oh shit!"
That's the one thing he was saving.
And Ruby in that moment when the match lights and Ruby gets, like Chris Tucker is just so perfect as Ruby there, and like just no one breathes, and they just touch it, and it goes, "Oh yes!" It's such a relief. It's like not even quite the crescendo of the movie yet. Like the big bad coming in is what it is. But it's fan. I can't get enough of the humanity and the invention in that scene. It's so great.
It's really cool. It's really cool. And like,
and do we really? Does the goo ever get explained? Does the goo ever get explained? The dark like chocolate sauce that comes down when they get engulfed by the dark star, the dark energy, like all of the characters, when they come across like the bad guy, like something from their temple
door.
Kind of.
Yeah, where he has the goo. I think it's just like, I've always read it as just like, that's their way that they're showing him being touched. Like they're just being like stained and enveloped by like oil or something like that.
Yeah.
It just starts like pouring out of you. I'm just like, yeah, okay. Well, this is pretty gnarly. Your blood turns into blackness. Like, you know, that's how I kind of viewed it.
Yeah.
You know, this movie could have been Waterworld very easily, but it's not. It's fucking a great sci-fi. You know,
hey,
it could have been
You know what, Chris? I think Waterworld might be good.
It's kind of having a comeback.
It's having Waterworld.
I read a lot of piece on it.
It is just Mad Max, the Road Warrior. It's just Mad Max, the Road Warrior on water. That's what it is. Like, that's what it is. It's the Road Warrior on water.
I could get, for that one, the sidebar, I could get my old audio professor, because he was the production sound engineer on Waterworld.
That's not an excuse.
What a fucking nightmare job that is.
Of all nightmares.
Roger Pardee. Only movie that has Roger Pardee and Laird Hamilton in it. Laird Hamilton played a jet skier.
Amazing.
Let me just off what you're saying about the stones is, it's such a beautiful but kind of understated moment that is the linchpin of the movie in a lot of ways. Just like the movie's so big and bright and campy that Corbin Dallas's kind of tired, underplayed characterization is kind of the anchor of the whole thing. Otherwise, it's just a fucking sketch show, you know, of like weird bits. And you know, to Bresson's credit, he finds those. It's some of those match cuts too during when it's like, oh, okay, it's the last act and there's a 20-minute countdown, but he cuts like to the time in such a cool way. Like his edits are really fun, and last night I was just like oh wow, that was really cool and really fun at the same time. It was like a fun way to kind of break something kind of linear up. So that was cool. And then just off the Brazil of it all, like we should do the Fisher King.
Oh man.
Fisher King is like sci-fi, but on planet Earth, you know, it's fantasy. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I cry like a fucking dog when I watch that movie.
I got everything I want.
Great
despair, the unhoused, alcoholism, Mercedes rule, painting nails. You know what I'm saying? Like what? But that's a sidebar as well. Period.
I'm down.
Sorry, Chris, you go.
No, I'm getting finally in my stride to be able to watch movies, because my last apartment I lived in we had a really gnarly upstairs neighbor, forced us to move because it was so loud. We'd always start watching a movie and then the footsteps would just kill us. So now I'm just in my own little private Idaho, watching whatever I want to, whenever I want to watch it, no interruptions. So I'm getting, Fisher King was one of those movies that I started watching and like the upstairs neighbor just like ruined the screening experience.
Destroyed it.
So I stopped it. But
Lydia.
I'm excited to get into more. But yeah, anyways, I don't know. Are we missing any other ones from this, from Fifth?
No, I think that that's enough. I think that they're a great collection of some of the most amazing and iconic scenes here. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back with any of our favorite quotes and our two favorite characters. I mean, we've already kind of mentioned all of our favorite characters in this so far, but we'll come back and we'll do some quotes. All right, guys. I mean, look, we've talked about Ruby Rod. I feel like Ruby is the universal MVP of this movie. But you've also got, you know, fantastic Mila Jovovich before she was Mila Jovovich. You've got Bruce Willis.
Made her.
Yeah. Like Bruce Willis in this purple patch where he kind of made filmmakers' entire careers. Like it was at that peak of his powers moment where he could just make someone's career by going in their movie. Gary Oldman, when he was before he was like prestige Gary Oldman, and he was still like do the weirdest shit possible Gary Oldman. You know, Luc Besson is obviously the director of Leon or The Professional, depending on what country you're in. And Gary Oldman's performance as the psychotic drug taking cop in that is like memed still to this day. Such a great cast. Any other favorites that we haven't had a chance to shout out in all of our chat?
I'm gonna do it like we hit all of them. Everyone's really good. I'm gonna give a big shout out to the weird little puppet that is in Gary Oldman's desk that kind of like comes out. The weird little like horny elephant, like weird like thing. Like what is that thing that kind of looks like him and gets all excited when he's let out? I'm gonna give a shout out to him because or her or whatever that is, because that was like again another scene, another little character that I just has been plaguing my mind since 97. Just that weird little. I want to see it in full size.
What looks like my son. I was like, can you?
Oh, that's so funny. A shout out to the Mondachilans, right? That like as yeah. You said, the Robo Penguins, amazing design, so great. And I love the weird, you know, the other sort of weird space dog guys. They're fantastic. And Gary Oldman's weird head thing. He's like, he's not committing to a zero fade. He's committing to like a collar that runs all the way up to the top of his hairline. I really like that kind of multicolored thing that he's got going. It's a great look.
And his teeth.
Yeah.
Like his weird mouth. I couldn't take my eyes off of his mouth. I mean, I'm looking at holes. You know what I'm saying? Like his mouth, though, I was just like, fucking
there might not be any better quotes in The Fifth Element than the quotes that Rob has talking about The Fifth Element today.
I just think, yeah.
Well, he's got so Bruce Willis does essentially a bit like a great bit when, first of all, are you a human? And, you know, negative, I am a meat popsicle. It's pretty funny. And then the other one where he's like talking about like, the first letter I got from my wife saying she was leaving, and then the next one I got was from my lawyer telling me he was leaving with my wife.
Like my wife, yeah.
Like, that was a good joke. And then the other thing that I love that he does is when he's trying to introduce himself after his non-consensual kiss with Lilu, is like she tells him his big long name and he has this whole like shorter name, you know, and he's like acting it out for her. And it's all very specific and very charming and like effortlessly movie starish and underplayed and wonderful. And I was like, man, we were lucky to have him, you know.
So lucky. He was lucky.
He was the fucking best.
So lucky.
The best.
Who?
Bruce.
Yeah, we're lucky to have him. He's still with us.
Still with us.
But we're not gonna get that same that that Bruce, that older Bruce, he's given us so much, I think is probably what I'm about to say. He's given us so much and so many iconic performances. My favorite lines are all Ian Holm in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I would call Raiders of the Lost Ark sequence of this movie where he describes, and they have that amazing like book with all the designs of what the fifth element looks like and how they take it down. And this is, you know, if someone evil stands here and all that, like it's all that exposition dump in sci-fi movies, which is usually so boring, but he's just so phenomenal that
he's great.
He can just do it and it just plays and it's got those great images and it's just unbelievable, like that all the images. I wonder if it was like Ralph McQuarrie or someone that like did that, because you know that he did the ones that are in Raiders and stuff like that. I'd have to do some research. I don't know that tidbit, but man, that artwork is phenomenal. It's so great.
Yeah, and like a great, you know, I mean, it's such a great single message of like, you know, we're here to love.
Yeah,
like human, you know, when she's talking about like everything you create, you destroy, and he's like, that's human nature, and it's true. And like the, you know, I'm sound so, it's so, they make it so obvious, but like, it's a nice reminder. Like we're here, the greatest thing that we're capable of doing is love, and in direct opposition to like Zorg's whole shitty, you know, evil billionaire monologue about like chaos, disorder, you know, look at all the creation that happens. Look at all these people. They're so busy. He's such like a fucking studio exec, or, you know, like all these people that do all my work for me and make me rich. And like, I do it, you know, because I'm a piece of shit, you know what I mean? Like the greatest thing we can do is love one another. And if need be, pay whatever you have to make love to Ruby Rod, you know, because that is it's a loving gesture. Guys, I gotta say,
Aziz, light. I need more light. I need more light to watch Rod.
Thank you. Love to Ruby
Rod. That was my favorite line. Aziz, more light. And a shout out to the character actor who played Aziz, that young actor. He was so funny, and I was watching it in the very beginning of the movie, and I'm like, oh yeah, like this movie also does really cool physical comedy, which is great, you know, and that like overtired kid who's just been holding this gold light plate there. The light, I need more light.
And then when Chris, the shit comes
Aziz
down, goes, oh,
has like,
thank you, Aziz.
Aziz has like one bloody nostril too. I'm like, was Aziz out fucking party last night? Yeah. Like 1914 Yizzle Yazzle. Yeah. Like,
is that why opium dens?
Exactly.
Who knows? Yeah, I'm trying to think of my favorite lines. I unfortunately forgot my notebook that I had all my lines written down in, but Aziz was one of them. I do like the lines that you know, in the beginning, to that point about love at the end, I love that. And then in the beginning, you have like the sergeant going like, I'm taking care of it right now. Or what does he say? Like the military jargon between.
There's a great one with there's a fantastic line that goes from Tom Lister after Ian Holm gives him this big, you know, impassioned speech.
Yes.
And he goes like, you know, Commander, I have a doubt. And he goes, General, I have a doubt. And he goes, it's John Neville, who's a great British character actor playing an American there. And he goes, I don't, Mr. President. And then bang, like,
That was it. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. It's a fantastic line. They're like great, great few line readings in there.
I like to prescribe to the logic of shoot first, ask question later. And all the military guys just were like, but yeah, there's you know, multi-pass, Lila Dallas multi-pass. You don't get, what would you think? Is Lilu Dallas multi-pass the Luke, I am your father of Fifth Element? What
pretty
is
much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the one.
It's the all.
It's a multi-pass. She's got a multi-pass.
Yes, honey. It's a multi-pass. She's got a multi-pass. Yeah. I love that like you were saying, Blake, like coming up to that. To the kiosk with all those different people. It's such a fun run too. And
yeah.
Multipass is definitely the thing. And then the guy who's the Iceman in 48 hours again, right? What's his name? Brian James or something.
Yeah.
He's he does, you know, the mail comes and he's like, have you checked your messages? And it pops in and he's like, could be important, you know.
So yeah, it's really,
yeah,
when the Flotsam Paradise,
that was cool.
Laughter, but clearly I'm unhinged today, so don't listen to me.
Rob, you are not unhinged. You are green. You are super green.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are super, yeah, green.
Super green. Yeah. Super green.
Super green.
Green, green, yeah.
He's choking over like, green.
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen.
I also love how he signs all those people's autographs with just one long stroke of paint. Like, it is so rude. It's like, oh, it's so fucking careless. Like,
yeah.
All night long, all night. Like, boom. And it's like, you know, whispering to the girl. It's.
I love that. Weird little detail.
Performances of all time.
I love how there was like a studio that was like receiving all of the show. Yeah. And there's like, that was great, Ruby. We'll see you tomorrow. You know, like, I don't know.
Forget the newsroom. I want to be in the studio that's receiving Ruby Rod and just watching everyone pull their hair out. The libelous.
Just all have like earmuffs on, like, you know, like, fucking.
God damn it! What did he say now?
Yeah, it's like, wait, he's talking to a woman and and fucking her like during the evening traffic. Hour of
it's like
radio show.
It's like Space Private Parts, you know, where everyone is Paul Giamatti. Like, what is he saying?
It's exactly Big Mom.
Yeah, God, he was like Prince meets Howard Stern.
Yes. That's what it is. You're right.
It's a marriage we never thought we needed to exist, but Chris nailed it.
Here
Prince
it is.
Meets Howard Stern. That's God. It.
Do you remember when he? Like he, when they go to the,
Rob, God,
he is so fucking.
Oh God,
it's so good, dude. When they go to Pava Laguna's thing,
Ruby
shows up with just roses around his entire, like, so low cut, so many like roses, embroidered roses on his black gown, and I just like. My wife had left the room. She was like, this movie sucks.
Of course she did. Of course she did.
She hated it. Speaking of Fritz Lang, too, I was watching The Big Heat. And I'm like, you want to watch The Big Heat?
You're in The Big Heat for Ruby Rod.
Yeah, she was like, no. And she left the room. I'm like, this fucking movie is so good. Like, anyway, the Ruby Rod, dude. Ruby Rose Rod. Hot Rod. Yeah, Rosebud Rod, baby.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We have to end this show. This has been the best. This is one of the best
He's
episodes
all
of any podcast.
Shut the fuck up.
Such a huge mouth.
Get it together. Get it together, Rob. God.
We can't even end it.
The first NSFW episode of Too Much Movie just dropped.
Wow. Guys, thank you so
much
for listening. Oh, we'll be back. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. I don't know how much time I need to recover. But Chris.
Listen, Wesleyan Film School taught me how to identify the character that I'd most likely make love to. That was the entire syllabus.
Oh, God. Chris, Rob, this has been fantastic. Chris, thank you for witnessing this with me. Rob Belushi, absolutely on fire. Rob, thank you so much, lads. This is too much fun. And we've been focused really on the 90s, but we have a 2001 film, which we almost did instead of Fifth Element, which I think we might have to break our own rule to do because it's too delectable.
Oh, baby, this is a big one. It's a big one. It's got some heavy hitters in it. We just rip the Band-Aid off and go into uncharted waters.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do it. I think we're going to have to do it next. But we'll make that a surprise. Gentlemen, you're the best. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been Too Much Movie. I'm Blake Howard. They have been my amazing co-hosts, Chris Candy and Rob Belushi. And we'll catch you on another episode of Too Much Movie soon, if we can even hope. If we can even cope after this. Oh, so good.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Saving money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment. Plus, the weekly flyer today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.